So this morning I want to talk about every member counts. Everybody say every member counts. Each one of you are very important to God. Everybody is important to God. And we're going to go through the scriptures to find out that Jesus takes it personally. You are valuable, and we all can do it. Amen? Every member counts and is important. I was reading in my one-year Bible, and I encourage everybody to read their one-year Bible. In the bookstore, there's a one-year Bible. And I got mine back in 1992 when I was in Bible school. I didn't really read it consistently, if barely ever. I read my Bible, but I didn't do the one-year program until I got to this church, and they encourage it. And did you know what? It's a beautiful thing. If you could spend 15 minutes of your day going through the one-year Bible, there's a lot of books in the Old Testament that we don't hang around too much. And you can find some things and some truths. You'll see Jesus right through the whole Bible, all the way from Genesis to Revelations. You'll see your Lord, you'll see your Master, you'll see your King, because he is the Lord. Every time they talk about the Lord, they're talking about Jesus. So I encourage everybody, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to grow, you're going to develop. And so as you read that one-year Bible, that's just something that everybody could do to be able to grow and to develop, because it'll help you personally. It's kind of like speaking in tongues. You know, this church, we speak in tongues, but in our minds, we could be, oh boy, we're tongue talkers. Well, I would like you to write down every time you talk in tongues, make a note, see how much you really talk in tongues. You may be surprised that you don't talk as much as you think you talk in tongues, because everybody should speak in tongues. And we appreciate those that have yielded to the Spirit of God and speak in tongues. But God desires all of us. And it's the same thing with reading our Bible. We know our Bible, but it's a progressive revelation. You're never going to know it all. And so in my one-year Bible over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, it says, "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house." You know, Pastor Steve was talking about David. This is the king. "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet." Ooh, how many like prophets? Amen. "And the king said unto Nathan the prophet." Now the prophet hears from God. In the Old Testament, the prophet, priest, and king were the guys anointed of God. In the New Testament, the anointing has been spread upon all of us. You have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, but there is gifts and graces as well. "But the king went unto Nathan the prophet and said, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar," David says, "but the ark of God," he was concerned about the presence of God. The presence of God was shut up in that ark, dwells within curtains. "And Nathan the king said, Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." That's Nathan the prophet. You would think that he could hear from God, and that's what he said. Go ahead and do that. Do whatever's in your heart. "And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying," isn't that something, that Nathan the prophet looked at David. David asked him a question. "What should we do? Should we build a nice tabernacle, a nice big house for our Jehovah God, the presence of God?" And Nathan says, "Go ahead, do it. Go ahead and build that ark," or "go ahead and build that house." But then the word of the Lord came. And that's so important, that each one of us, you know, there's general things that we do in life. And then there's specific things. Thank God for all the general things we could do. The Word of God is full of them. We could put them into practice. But then there's specific things that God has called each one of us to do. And we should be sensitive. And so God told Nathan the prophet, go tell David, no, he's not going to build that tabernacle. His son's going to actually build it. But tell him to save up a lot of money, and then we'll build it. And so David started saving up money. And so it is with all of us. You know, God's called you to something. Amen? The title of this message is Every Member Counts. So each one of us is very important. The purpose of this message is every member in the body of Christ is valuable and needed. There are no members that should not be important. You know, it goes on in the Corinthians, talks about the body of Christ is like a human body. You know, you got your hand, but you know your hand is right where it is. And then there's a wrist, there's an arm, an elbow, a shoulder, and it's all connected. And the Apostle Paul says, you and I are like the body of Christ. We're like a body. Each one is very important. Members in particular, each important, and each have a function and an ability. But we all don't have the same grace and call. So Jesus is the head of the church, and we are members of his bodies, members in particular. It says over in Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, Mark 9 and 41, if we could go there on the screen, it says, "Who shall give a cup of cold water in my name because you belong to Christ? Verily, I say you will not lose your reward." So anything that you can do, what I can do for Christ, for the Lord, you're doing it unto him. Even if you give a cup of cold water in my name. You know, many people do good deeds and do good things. I could think of several here that have taken care of sick folk, people that were ailed and in trouble, and they go ahead and take care of them. Well, you're doing it as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's very important. The Lord said unto Saul, his name was Saul, and he was on his road to Damascus, and he had a bunch of papers in his hands. And he was going to take care of a bunch of Christians. He says, "I'm going to take them and I'm going to throw them in prison. And that's what we're going to do with these Christians." But on the way to Damascus, a big bright light shone from heaven. And a voice booming said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the Lord Jesus Christ whom you are persecuting." He looked up and he said, "Whoa, what would you want me to do, Lord?" Actually, he was blinded at that moment. And he said, "Go to the city of Damascus, it'll be told you what to do." And the good story goes that was changed and transformed by the power of God. His name was no longer Saul. His name was changed to Paul, and he wrote most of the New Testament. And did you see, he took it personally. He took it personally. Jesus took it personally. Let's all say, Jesus took it personally. Amen. Well, sometimes we say to one another, "Don't take it so personal." But Jesus, he takes it personally. Amen. Jesus takes it personally. And so he thought he was doing great. He thought he was doing the will of God. He thought he was doing the plan of God. He thought he was doing the purpose of God. But he wasn't. He was actually hindering the purpose and the plan of God. Isn't that something? But he was so transformed and he was so changed that his name got changed and he became a great man. And he suffered much for the things of God. And thank God that we can learn a good lesson from that Jesus takes it personally about anything that you do. So the first point is, Jesus takes it personally. Let's all say that. Jesus takes it personally. Jesus takes it personally. Over in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, Matthew 25 and 34, I'm just going to grab a water. Could you pass me or throw me a water? I made fun of Dave the other day, and now I'm reaping it. He looked so dry the other day. I said, I should go give him a water, but I didn't. But what you sow is what you reap. To the glory of God. Bless Dave and his water-quenching ability. And next time, I will give him a water and help him. That was dry. So Jesus takes it personally. Over in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, a great portion of scripture, it says here, "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat." Everybody say, "Gave him some meat." Amen. How many of you like meat out there? Got any meat eaters, or how about the salad? Amen. My wife likes a good salad. "But I was hungry and you gave me some meat. I was thirsty and you gave me some drink." Amen. "I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw you you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you a drink? Or when saw you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we you sick or in prison and came unto you?" And then the king shall answer unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you did it unto me." You did it unto me. Jesus, again, taking it personally. Whatever you do, in the things of God, in the church, you're doing it as unto the Lord. Sometimes people get upset about the tithe. Some people get upset about giving money. Well, I read in my Bible, the Bible says, if you read it from Genesis to Revelations, even before Moses brought in the law, this is the law. Just like that show there was called This is the Law. And before Moses brought in the law, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all brought tithes to the things of God. That would be 10%. Then you go through the law and then you come to the New Testament and I find these guys are radical givers. They go ahead and give houses. They give lands away, and they brought the money to the disciples. So we can't be complaining about some small portion when the New Testament talks about guys that are extremely blessed and extreme big givers. But Jesus took it personally. And you and I have to know that whenever you're helping in the church, whatever you're doing it unto the Lord. If you're bringing your money and you're giving it to God, you're saying, God, I'm giving you this money. You help me get this money throughout the week, and I give you a portion back. Thank you for my portion. I'm going to go and enjoy it. I'm going to spend it. I'm going to blow it. I'm going to do different things, invest it for those invested minds, and I'm going to do that. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm going to remember my God, and I'm going to do it as unto him. And everything you do, do it unto God. You sing songs, do it unto the Lord. You usher, you greet, whatever you do, you're doing it for the glory of God. You help out with the kids. You're doing it for the glory of God. You're singing songs. You're witnessing. You're cooking meals. You're taking things to people. You're doing it unto the glory of God. You're running the cameras. You're doing it unto the glory of God. You're answering the phones. You're talking to people. You're witnessing to people, sharing the goodness of God in the land of the living. If Galatians says, I'm dead and my life is hid with Christ and God, then you're not your own anymore. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. Amen. You're like a walking dead man. You're walking around and you're doing things by faith. You're loving your Jesus by faith, whom, of course, he wants us to walk by faith. We can't see him. He's invisible. He's in heaven at the right hand of God, but Holy Spirit is here. And the Bible says the world cannot receive Holy Spirit because they see him not. They just look by what they can see. But thank God there's an army and a group of people that are going to praise God in spirit and in truth. They're going to say, thanks be unto God. I've got him in my heart. I believe in him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my helper in a very time of need. Anytime I need help, I've got the helper. I never have to be lonely. I never have to be sad. I never have to call somebody and say, I'm so lonely. Yes, I understand. There's times of loneliness, but God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. In fact, you can't get rid of him. Even if you wanted to get rid of him, you can't get rid of him. Amen? Before I was born again, I would always try to get rid of him. Get away from me. And I would go do my thing. And then I'd get in trouble. I'd say, well, where are you? Come on back and help me. I need some help. And it was time and time and time again like that. So I just gave my heart and life to him. And it's been good ever since. Because God is a faithful God. Always likes faith. Jesus is the greatest faith man that ever walked the face of the earth. He had to grow. He was 12 years old. We've seen kids that are 12 years old. He wanted to be about his father's business. And he goes to the temple and he's listening and he's answering questions. Hey, you know, God's moving on me. Things are good. I really like the Lord. Woohoo! Little 12-year-old Jesus. His parents come and they look for him for 3 days. They couldn't find him. They found him in the temple. They grab him by the ear. And they say, you come on back with us. Why'd you do that? We've been soaring for you. Why'd you do that? He said, didn't you know I must be about my father's business? Basically, they said, shut up and come on with us. And so they pulled him out. And for 18 years, he was with his dad. Even later on, they didn't believe in him. His parents, of course, believed in him because she had a baby by the Holy Spirit. So she understood that it was a immaculate conception, I believe they call it. And so that's what happened there. But Jesus had to grow just like you and me, and he had to develop. And that's awesome that he's a faith guy. We're a faith guy. He knew the Lord. We know the Lord. He come from heaven. Guess what? You come from heaven too. That which is born of the Spirit of God is of God. And the Holy Spirit is your dad, and you're born of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. So Jesus takes it personally. Colossians 3 and verse 23, it says, whatever you do, amen. Let's say, whatever I do, I do to the glory of God. You do it to the glory of God. You're not doing it for man to get a pat on the back. I love pats on the back. Amen. I love it. Once my daughter complimented me, and I tell you, that kept me for a long time. Amen. Just a little compliment that you did good. You did good. Amen. Everybody likes a compliment. You did good. You're awesome. Amen. Everybody likes a good compliment. Everybody should be complimented. And thank God Jesus Christ compliments you. He says there's not one jot or one tittle of whatever you do, you're going to be receiving a reward from him. He's going to give it to you. He's going to reward you, and he's going to reward you good. It's not going to be some rinky-dink thing here on earth. Here, we give you this, this ribbon. You know, go ahead and put it someplace. Or even a plaque. Oh, thank God, I got a plaque on a wall. He's going to give you, man, there's going to be multitudes of people, and he's going to say, you see what you did to that individual? Here you go, sister. I love you. I needed you to get to that person. I needed you to minister to them. Nobody else would minister to them, but you ministered to them. Isn't that beautiful? That's our Jesus, a precious Jesus, always wanting to bless, always wanting to encourage, never tearing down, always building up. He shed his blood for you and I, and thank God Almighty we can live for him and we can do whatever we do to the glory of God. Amen. The Bible says that everything give thanks. You say they don't use me. Well, give thanks. Amen. Say thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Amen. They didn't compliment me for that big cake I made. Well, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. They didn't say anything about that money. I gave $1,000 in the offering. They didn't say one lick. Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on. Yeah. I've been helping in the children's department for 400 years. Well, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God that you are valuable. Everybody say, I'm valuable. You're valuable to God. You're valuable to the things of God. He loves and respects you, and he wants to get over to you all of his love, all of his blessings, all of his kindness. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it heartily. Do it murmuring. Oh, man, I got to do this again. You know, how many times we got to go to church? We go twice in a week, you know. Well, praise God. We can do more than that. Amen. You're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the New Testament, they went daily to the temple. How would you like some church daily? Hey, how would you like daily? Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. I've got to wash the clothes I never washed for 1 week. I got to wash those clothes. Amen. Thank God for his ability. He says, whatever you do, do it heartily. We're doing it unto the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, you're doing it unto the Lord. There's many gifted, graced people here. LU, I could look out and I could see many people that has helped, that has served, that has been a blessing, that have hauled people around, that did different things. Well, you're doing it for the glory of God. Amen. So when you get to heaven, you don't have to cower under and say, well, I just made it in. I just by the skin of my teeth. Amen. And then we have a good attitude too. Everybody say good attitude. I love this little story in the Bible. It's about the Lord goes out to the marketplace and he says, hey, who's going to work for me? It's a couple guys there, people, come on, I'll pay you $1 a day. This is old times, old days. And so he takes them and they're working away. And the clock's going by, 1 hour goes by, he finds some more people. He says, hey, why don't you come work in my vineyard? Okay, sure, come on. And find some more people another hour later. And so the whole day goes by. And now it's 11:55. It's time to get paid. Everybody say, it's time to get paid. It's time to get paid. It's time to get paid. I don't know if you've ever worked, but payday's a good day. Especially if you put in some work and some turmoil. I want to get paid. Amen. It's hilarious. But anyways, it's 11:55. And the Lord says, bring in the workers, bring in the workers. And pay those that started at the beginning. And so these guys worked the whole day in the vineyard. He gave them $1. The next guys came up, he gave them $1. The next guys came up, he gave them $1. The next guys came up, he gave them $1. Those guys, he asked 5 minutes before closing time, they got $1 too. Does that sound fair? No. But that's our Lord. That's our Lord. He's not willing any perish. All come to repentance. Everybody's equal in the eyes of the Lord when it comes to the things of God. Yes, you're going to be rewarded for all the work you did, but I'm just saying that, hey, God is a merciful God. Amen? And you will be rewarded, and by him putting his arm around you and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, that you did this for me. As you've done it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And so we should have always a good attitude when we are serving. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Everybody say, not unto men. Because men are going to fail you. It is true. We can do a song like that. Amen. Men will fail you. It is true. Because they are human. They are spirits are alive unto God, but you still got that old body. You still got a mind you got to renew. And so if you put all your eggs into people, then you got a sad day coming, because people will hurt you. People will say bad things about you. They may accidentally hurt you. They may accidentally say something bad about you. They don't mean to viciously get you, but things happen, and that's people. I learned something from Catherine Kuhlman. How many have ever heard of her? She was a great woman, and she would minister to some 15,000 people at a time. What a wonderful lady. But she says, this business of friends, and again, I'm not advocating not being a friendly, okay? You can all be friends. Amen. Friends are good. Friends are friendly. But she says, you can count your friends on one hand. You could take away the thumb. Friends, that word friends is so fickle. He said they praised Jesus. They wanted to make him king. And then the next minute, they wanted to kill him. And so that's sometimes it is with people. But Jesus will never, ever, 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 ever forsake you. Never in this life or the life to come. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. So what should we do? And when Jesus takes it personally, you and I should do some prayer of dedication, consecration. I'll do anything you want. I'll go anywhere you want. I'll serve any way you want. Amen? That's what you and I should do on a daily basis. I heard that from Brother Hagin when he was a young man. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You want me to go to China? I'll go to China. You want me to do this? I'll do that. You want me to pastor? I'll pastor. You want me to do this? I'll do that. And then when he did, the Lord did tell him what to do at Rhema, he said, I didn't want to do it. So sometimes you have to say, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Amen. Not my will. It's the prayer of dedication and consecration to the will of God. I'm going to do it, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus had to do it. And if Jesus had to do it, you're going to have to do it. He was out there. He says, Lord, Father God, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. Not my will, but your will be done. And you should do that every day. Concerning the things of God. What do you want me to do? You want me to clean this place? This place is trashed. I got to go clean it. Oh, go clean it up. Amen. You're doing it as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they need help fixing the gym. Oh, well, praise God. Let's get the dirt out. Amen. Let's help them. Let's support it. Praise God. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So the prayer of dedication, consecration, and submission is a good thing. I'll do anything you want. I'll go anywhere you want. I'll serve any way you desire for me. Amen? Because not everybody's got the same gift, grace, and ability. Thank God that he's placed something in your spirit, in your heart, and I absolutely love whatever he's placed inside your spirit and in your heart. That's him speaking unto you. That's him leading you. That's him guiding you. That's him directing you. That's him showing you things to come. I would rather do that than to do something that you don't want to do. Amen. And there is times, but he will grace you and empower you to do. If he has a will for your life, that there's something you don't necessarily want to do, he will empower you. Reminds me of in the natural, a lot of times in the natural and spiritual go together, but I was on the railroad and they wanted me to be a mechanic. Oh, everybody say a mechanic. So they were nice about it. They sent me to Brandon, Manitoba, and they put me up in a hotel. Oh, yeah, I like those hotels that are paid for. How about you guys? Yeah. They gave me all the food to eat. How about you guys? Oh, yeah. Amen. So I got to be in this hotel, got to go to school and be a mechanic. So I went through 1 year. I went through another year. Oh, man, I hated that with every fiber of my being. I didn't hear this message. And if he wanted me to be a mechanic, oh, dear Lord. I remember listening to the instructor, Frank Binda. He was, I called him the God of mechanics. He knew everything about everything. He was literally a God of mechanics. This was years before I was married. But anyways, and I couldn't figure out. There's a big group of people, and he says, Ken, tell me how the power flow goes. Power flow? What's a power flow? So I had to humble myself and look like a dummy, and I didn't say. I said, I don't know. But there's people that just love mechanics, amen? And they are good at it, and thank God. So God puts things in people's hearts and lives. People are gifted and graced, amen? And a vast majority of the people will have jobs outside the local church, being a blessing, amen? But if you desire to be in the church, well, who put that in there? Charlie Brown? No. Jesus, the Son of the living God, amen, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we could all do things for the glory of God. We do things for the glory of God. So everybody say, your part is valuable. Jesus takes it personally, and my part is valuable. Let's make it personal. Say, my part is valuable. Amen. Put some gusto into it. Say, my part is valuable. Amen. Let's do it one more because this is a sales pitch. Say, my part is valuable. I'm valuable. Amen. You are valuable. Each one of us are valuable to the things of God. God doesn't have no junk. No junk when you're dealing with God. God, the creator of the universe. Thank you, Father, that you made me. I used to wonder why, oh why, because we grew up, I was born in town, and so for the first maybe 7 years, I was in town. We had running water, things were good, eh? I tell you, I had friends down the street, we played, and man, things were good. And then my dad says, we got to move these kids to the farm because they're going to get in trouble in these towns. So he buys a farm, and we go to the farm with the five kids. No running water. What kind of life is this? And if I told you some things, you'd gross you out. Maybe I should. But anyways, you had to carry certain things out. And you carried it out. It was so nasty. A normal human being, you wouldn't believe it. This doesn't seem normal. I would rather go inside. At least there's outhouses. You're freezing. Going to the washroom. But anyways, I couldn't understand. I thought, this is stupid. Why was I born like this? And then I started reading the Word of Faith magazine. I said, how come I wasn't born in that home? Hey, I could have been Brother Hagin's kid. His grandkid. Hey, man, I could have did anything. But I see sometimes when you observe things from a distance, you be thankful where you come from and what you've experienced and what you went through. Because God will turn it around for your good. Amen? Amen. God turns all things together for your good. So I said to myself, you know, I'm not going to be concerned about that. I'm going to love my dad. Amen. He wasn't born again. He wasn't saved, though his mother was. And my mom was saved. But I'm going to appreciate my dad. Of course, he wasn't physically. He didn't beat me to a pulp. In fact, he was very nice. I like the guy. And my mom was a different story. She beat us with an electrical cord. But anyways, okay, we're not here to be bad to my mama. But anyways, and so I couldn't understand certain things. I couldn't understand certain things. I thought, why am I born into this? I can't understand it. I can't comprehend it. But I see everybody's the same way. Amen? Wherever you come from, you'll say, why? Well, that's the way it was. Some people lived on Snob Row, high and lifted up, and the best part of town. Amen. Those are different days. But anyways, each one of us are valuable. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Just like the natural body, the Apostle Paul, he talked about the natural body and how it's important. For the body does not consist of one limb or organ, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, would it therefore be not part of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. Would it therefore be not part of the body? No, it's still part of the body. If the whole were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were an ear, where would the smell be? But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body just as he wished. Everybody say, as he wished. Amen. Every one of us are special and put in the body of Christ just as he desired. You are valuable. It says, just as he saw fit and best adapted. But if the whole were a single organ, where would the body be? And now there are certain many limbs and organs, but a single body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor the head to the feet, I don't need you. But instead, those are absolute necessity for those body parts are considered more weak. So then they should be no division or discord or lack of adaptation for the parts of the body to each other. But members should all alike should have mutual care for one another. Now, I don't know about you, but my physical body, if you ever had anything wrong with it. Sometimes I wrestle with Joe, and sometimes my right arm is a little sore, eh? And so I can't just grab them and throw them around. So I use my left. And I grab them and I feel strong sometimes with my left hand. But my right is actually the stronger one. But then all of a sudden my left is good. So we're pushing it around. We're good, eh? Well, my right arm doesn't say, oh, lefty, I'm the big guy. The right hand doesn't say, oh, you know, use me. No, this right hand does not want to wrestle. This right hand wants to wait and heal up and feel good and feel strong. And the other guy, he's doing good. So it's it with the body of Christ. Sometimes we think, oh, no, why didn't they? Hey, if they got the power, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and enjoy it. Go ahead and be blessed. Amen? Not every member is the same. I notice my left foot doesn't have anything to do with my right ear. And sometimes in ministry, you know, there's ministries, and there's a lot of great ministries out there. Brother Higgins, thank God for this house, God associated with them. But there's a lot of other different ministries out there. There's Joyce Meyer and different ones. They're all great ministries, but there's some that are inclined towards you. There's some that you're going to associate with. There's some that's going to you're going to really be blessed with. Brother Hagin says, sometimes when you read books, if that book blesses you, and it's a spiritual book, and it's a good book, read it again. Your spirit is being fed. Your spirit is being ministered. The Bible says about the Apostle Paul and them, when they were beat up, when they were tormented in jail and so forth, they got up and they went to their own company. Everybody's got their own company. And thank God that the company here is a company of faith. It's a company of believers that want to believe God through all kinds of circumstances and situations. Amen? Even if you're sick, doesn't mean that you're full of sin or something is bad. No. We're believing God for your health. We're believing God for your healing. Amen? If something is amiss, any body part that you have, there's only two things that I don't know about. I should have did my research. It's the gallbladder and the tonsils. Sometimes those things get out the fastest. I got my tonsils out as a young kid because I wanted to eat ice cream, and that was the worst mistake ever. It was horrible. I didn't eat no ice cream after I got them out. And the gallbladder, I'm sure God made it for a purpose. And so each one of us is of value and of importance. Each part is important. And so as the Apostle Paul used the natural body, if you cut your finger off, you know, you're going to be working, but you're going to be working with four fingers. You cut off another finger, you're going to be working with three fingers. You don't have an arm. You don't have an eye. You don't have an ear. That's tough. That's hard. And so he says that in the body of Christ is a very similar thing. Go ahead and think of it as your own body. You want to treat each part with respect. There's not all parts are going to be seen, of course. Amen? But there's parts that are going to be seen. And thank God for whatever part that God has placed in your life. Thank God for it, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So mutual and care one for another. All parts are important. We may think that some are more glamorous and needed, but all are vital and useful to God because he has put the body together as it has pleased him. Number 3, you can do it. Everybody say, I can do it. So Jesus takes it personally. We're talking about every member counts. Jesus takes it personally. Your part is valuable. And the third part is you can do it. Matthew 11:30 says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So whatever God has designed and created you for, his yoke is easy and his burden light. You're not going to be stressed out and worried and upset. No, you're going to say, "Thank you, Lord. If you've asked me to help or support in this area, bless God, I could help and support in this area." Amen? And sometimes it's tough. I learned this story from Keith Moore. Keith Moore is a great man of God. He helped out Brother Hagin, and now he has two churches, one in Branson and one in Sarasota. Now, I heard him with his own lips as he was ministering, speaking. He says that Brother Hagin, he was working for Brother Hagin. Now, let's just see how your consecration and your dedication is. Now, the States, they think of Thanksgiving as really big. We're not as big on it here in Canada, but in the States, Thanksgiving is a big deal. And so they're cooking a turkey, Keith Moore and his wife. They got everything ready, and they get a phone call. Brother Hagin, "Hey, Keith, why don't you come for a ride with me?" "Come for a ride with you? It's Thanksgiving. I just made a turkey. We're going to be eating right away." "A ride?" He can't believe it. You know, he hung up the phone, and he literally went with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin took him to his hometown. They drove around. He saw where he grew up, saw a bunch of things. Isn't that something? But look at the dedication and the consecration of a man. How many people would do that? Take a turkey and put it on off and leave out of there. It's a very important day. So that just shows sometimes people have extreme dedication and consecration. That doesn't mean that you could just be run over and do all kinds of crazy things. No, but you got to have a heart that wants to be a blessing, wants to serve, wants to go an extra mile, wants to be a blessing, especially in church to the things of God. So thank God for that. You can do it. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Whatever God has called you to do, destined you to do, designed you to do, you can do it. Wherever the grace, call, and abilities are, God helps you. You will not be stressed out. You'll be blessed out. Amen? Hallelujah. So, well, there's a couple of cases in the Bible. It says about the alabaster woman with the alabaster jar of special perfume. How many of you remember her? It was a very expensive, I believe it was a year's wages. So in some people's cases, $1 million. But anyways, it was a year's wages. And so this woman here in Matthew, where was this woman? This woman is in Matthew 26. "There came a woman unto him with an alabaster of precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat down." Now Jesus was sitting there with his disciples. This woman got this box of very expensive perfume and broke it and poured it on his head. You would think that's kind of crazy. There was one guy in the midst. His name was Judas. How many of you know about him? But he started to complain. He started to murmur, and he said, "This box could have been sold for a lot of money. All the money could have been given to the poor." And Jesus replied to that comment in Matthew 26, 10 to 13. "When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble the woman?" Amen. Everybody say, "Why trouble the woman?" You know, there's a lot of people that do a lot of good things. We shouldn't give them trouble. Amen? They want to be a blessing, let them be a blessing. Don't hinder them, go ahead and bless them. Support them. He says, "Why trouble the woman? This woman has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but you have not always me." He's in heaven right now at the right hand of God. "For in that she poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you that wheresoever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that shall also that this woman has done be a memorial unto her." Isn't that something? That the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as important as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life, mentions that this woman also has to be referred to and has to be mentioned because she wrought a good work upon Jesus. Something so simple as taking that perfume and pouring it on the master, and people were upset, but yet Jesus said, "Leave her alone. It's important what she did. It's for my burial, and what she did is a memorial unto me and throughout all eternity." When you get to heaven, you're going to see this is the woman that gave the alabaster box of ointment and poured it on the master's feet. Anything you do for the glory of God, you're doing it unto him. Amen? And we will be blessed for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A certain woman, another one, in Acts 16, 14, a certain woman named Lydia. This was a businesswoman. She had purple clothes that she made. She dealt with purple material, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, and worshiped God. Heard, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me faithful, come to my house and abide there. Come to my house and abide there? This woman was a generous businesswoman. And yet she said, Jesus, you come to my house. Or not Jesus, who are they talking to there? Come to my house and stay there. And she compelled them. Why? Just something so simple as having somebody over with hospitality. When I was a single and I used to work on the railroad, I used to go to different churches. And I went to one in Flint Flon, where Brother McCall is. There was a work there. And I went there, and this person, I didn't know very much about anything, but this person said, hey, come to my house, I'll feed you. Come to your house, I'll feed you. You know, she was an older woman, she had two kids, so I didn't, you know, I didn't know what was going on, but I ended up going there. And did you know, over that whole period of time, I would go to that house, and she would feed me, and she said, the Lord told me to feed you. Isn't that a blessing? The Lord told me to feed you. Nowadays, again, we want to watch because they'd be there. Ken came in the house. He's crazy. But anyways, that was an honorable thing, especially when you're a young believer, just new on the things of God. You're coming and someone shows respect and has a meal and provides a meal for you. I know nowadays it's a little bit different. We don't visit people's homes very often. In the old days, they used to do it a lot more. But anyways, that woman was showed great respect. And this woman, Lydia, said, come to my house. Come to my house. And she compelled them, the Apostle Paul, and he went. Over in Luke chapter 8 and verse 3 to 2. And certain women, which did been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven devils went, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered to them of their substance. So all these people were ministered. It's something about if God has ministered unto you, if God has blessed you in some way, shape, form, or fashion, if you become born again, if you've been healed under the ministry, then you want to be a blessing. You want to help, you want to encourage, and you want to serve. And so thank God for all those people. Some other practical ones are Peter's boat. Everybody say Peter's boat. Servants. Say servants. Filling the jars with water. Those people that Jesus said, servants, you fill those jars with water. They just was something so simple, but they had to go obey. And then to Peter, he said, go throw your fish, your pole in the water and pull out a fish. The people serving and gathering food, a man and his donkey. The upper room was all furnished, and Paul putting sticks on a fire. It just shows that people do things, amen? People get involved in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And it's important that each one of us to get involved, to be able to serve, and that you're doing it as unto the Lord, because you are valuable. Jesus takes it personally. And that each one of us has the ability to do it. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. There's a little bit more here. You know, in this local church, there's prayer meetings. There's ushering groups. There's greeting. There's media. There's word shop. There's hospitality. There's security. There's financial counters. There's camera operators. There's connection groups, men's, women's, and singles. There's children's ministries. There's youth ministries. There's lawn and snow cleaning, flower gardens, hospitalities, cookers, outreaches, special ministries, social media, financial givers, leadership development, and Spirit Alive Helpline. That's some of the things that all of this ministry does and that all can be involved in. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's thank God that He is the one that is at work in you. Father,